The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read the first four verses to you, and then I'm skipping lots of names and going on to verse 14 to 21. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. And then verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God bless those words to us. Sometimes when I come to do a talk, I'm given a verse. Sometimes I'm given various titles. But today you have one title, and it's this: External Evidence of Internal Workings. I wonder how well you clean. It's all right, I'm not going to go round with a questionnaire and ask you. But the little clip that we saw is taken from Mark chapter 7. And in that passage, we read where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had come to Jerusalem, and they saw that Jesus was eating food with his disciples and hadn't washed their hands. A bit like school, isn't it, really? Have you washed your hands? So the Pharisees said that they were unclean because they hadn't washed their hands. And when they came to the marketplace, they did not eat unless they would wash. This is the Pharisees. And they observed many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees said to Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders and wash their hands? And Jesus' reply was this: Isaiah was right when he prophesied, those people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I wonder what your important standards are. I hope you have some standards, but I wonder if you had to put them into order of importance, where would you start and where would you end? What would be number one and what would be number 10? And I wonder, as a Christian, what your standards are. And I wonder, as a church, what your standards are and how important they are to you. And how do you maintain them? How do you achieve those standards that we clothe ourselves with? The moral of the cleaning of the teapot is, of course, that the standards can overtake the purpose of the teapot. The purpose of the teapot is to provide tea. But the gentleman in the clip was so busy maintaining his standards that he forgot about the tea. In chapter 1 in Acts, we read that the disciples had come together and they had appointed the 12th disciple to replace Judas, Matthias. And then it came to the day of Pentecost. The feast of Pentecost was celebrated by the Jews ever since the giving of the Ten Commandments. And it was, sometimes it's called the Feast of the First Fruits, sometimes it's called the Feast of the Pentecost, sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks. And it is after the Passover, the greatest festival that the Jews celebrated. So they came to Jerusalem from all over the then known world. From as far as the east to the west, Luke describes for us in those verses. And they came to celebrate harvest, the beginning of harvest. And verse 2 in Acts chapter 2, to me, talks about external evidence of internal workings. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came and filled the house, and they saw what seems to be tongues of fire, and it came to rest on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with my personal daily walk with God. And sometimes I find it difficult to find the time to be quiet and still in his presence and do the things that my mind knows that I should do, but my body doesn't always want to, because I'm always off somewhere else doing something else. And I think it's very easy for us to appear to be God-like children, doing externally the things that are correct, but internally we're not looking after our relationship with God. And here we're told that these apostles, who were frightened and confused and muddled and unsure, except for one thing, in the belief of Jesus Christ, who had died and rose for their sins. And yet God fills them with his Spirit to enable them to do the external workings. If you thought I was going to speak about the gifts of the Spirit and how you are filled by the Spirit, then that isn't the message that I think God has asked me to bring. The message I think here, that as we look at it, is that we need, with our eyes, to see what God is doing, and we need with our mouths to talk about what God is doing. And if you get those two right, that people can come and listen and see and hear the word of God, then the Spirit will work through it and in it. It's interesting, isn't it? If I'd have read verses 5 to 13, you'd have read that there were people who were from all over different nations, and yet they understood what these 12 people were saying. Not totally, which is why they thought they were drunk. They couldn't work it all out, but they understood enough to get the words and the phrases of the message that these apostles were conveying. Amazed and perplexed, they said to each other, "What does this mean?" And I think that often in our Christian walk, when we try and do the things that God wants us to do externally, sometimes we don't always get it right. Sometimes people are amazed and perplexed by what we do and how we do it. But occasionally, slight words and the language that we use clicks in, and there is an understanding. Because I think within Christian churches, there is a culture of language which sometimes you have to be a Christian to understand. But these folk didn't understand it all, but they understood enough because the Spirit of God was working through those men and he gave the interpretation. Do you know, I've been doing some Bible studies at home and we've been looking at the Beatitudes, and I normally do a Tuesday morning with some ladies, and then John does a Wednesday evening with another group that we host in our house. And when we all agreed that we would do the Beatitudes, he said, well, as you're already doing it with your ladies group on a Tuesday morning and you're in front of us, you know what's going to come, don't you? You might as well do the Wednesday night one as well. So I've had a double whammy of the Beatitudes. But you know, I found it absolutely fascinating and challenging, because the Beatitudes are not a law, they are a standard, a character, a way that we live our lives. And it talks about these words that we have difficulty in, that righteousness and mercy and mourning and all these things, and justice, all these things that we have trouble with. But if we follow God and allow his Spirit to work within our lives to fill us and equip us, to go by his ideas and not by our ideas, then we will see external workings because of internal way that we are. So the Beatitudes, if you've got nothing to do one evening, have a look at them. They are extremely challenging as to how God wants us to be as we walk with him. And we can only be that way, my friends, if we allow the Spirit to fill us, as the Spirit filled those disciples on that day of Pentecost. You know, we read about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It isn't something that suddenly cropped up on the day of Pentecost. It's there right from the beginning of time. But in the Old Testament, it's given to the kings and the prophets and the priests, and the common folk like you and I would not perhaps have experienced that. But the wonderful thing about the day of Pentecost is not only was it given to the apostles, the followers of Jesus, but it was given to the general people. It was given to those Jews who came wherever they were coming from, in whatever language they spoke. The word of God was for them. The Spirit of God was for them. Just as much as it is today. And that reference that Joel gave us, twice in that little Old Testament prophecy, he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all my people. That is you and that is me. God promises to pour his Spirit on all of his people. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're old or whether you're young. It doesn't matter whether you're male or whether you're female. It doesn't matter if you're rich or whether you're poor. It doesn't matter what class you are and what job you do. Joel tells us in the Old Testament that God will pour out his Spirit and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Zechariah chapter 4, doesn't it, talks about in that verse that we often quote, not by might or by power, but by your spirit. We can never achieve our own cleanness. However much you try and get that Brillo pad and scrub and scrub, and however much elbow grease and however much you work at it, you will never be clean as you come before your holy God. And I rejoice in that, because God accepts me for who I am, and he loves me for who I am. And he fills me with his spirit and equips me to do the job that he wants me to do in the way that he wants me to do it. So sometimes if my teapot is a bit stained, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes if I haven't quite got it right, it doesn't really matter. The thing that matters is that God's spirit is in it. And he will work through it. I'm going to tell you a story that I found. It's an American story, because I'm sure this would never happen in England. There was a man being tailgated by a woman on a busy road. That would never happen in England, would it? You'd get the man that would be tailgating the woman, wouldn't you? No, the other way around. And they were approaching some traffic lights, which were... Someone's doing it. They were approaching some traffic lights, which were actually green. And as they approached, because it was a busy road, there'd been a long queue, and the man knew that the chances were they were going to change before he got there. So instead of putting his foot on the pedal to get through quick, as if we'd ever do that, to get through quick, he sort of slowed down, and by the time he got to the traffic lights, they showed red. And he stopped. And the woman in the car behind him started to open her window and shout all sorts of abuse out to him and bonked on her horn and tapped on her roof and made as much noise as possible because she was just so frustrated. She had places to go and people to see. And she needed to be there yesterday. And then suddenly amongst all of this, there was a tap on her window. And she looked up and there was the policeman. And he said to her, I need you to come down to the station with me. So he took her to the station and he took all her possessions off and they fingerprinted her and they did a photo of her and they put her in the cell for a couple of hours. Now, I have to say, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's quite possible. And then he came and he released her. And he said, I'm very sorry, madam. But in the confusion, when I saw your behaviour, and then I looked at the back of your car, and it said, choose life, sticker, what would Jesus do, sticker, and follow me to Sunday school, sticker, I assumed the car was stolen. External were evidence of internal workings. God calls us to be clean, yes. He doesn't call us to get it right all the time. But he calls us to allow him to fill us with his spirit. And maybe it won't be in the wind. Maybe it'll be in the quiet whisper like it was with Elijah. And maybe it won't be fires that come upon you. Maybe it will just be in the stillness of your home as you feel his power work through you. But God wants to fill each one of us, not to work to our standards, not to work to our way, but to work to his way. 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were filled with the Spirit. so that they could say God's words to a nation and show God's love and mercy and justice to a nation that was lost. Lost in tradition, lost in misplaced ideas of what religion was all about. It would almost be as if it was today, perhaps. And so we need to seek his spirit, to ask for his spirit to fill us and guide us, to teach us and strengthen as we speak and show his love in our families, in our neighbourhood, in our communities, in our work, and in our churches. External evidence of internal workings. Not by man, but by God. Amen.